Good morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. It is a beautiful and glorious day in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank God for another wonderful day, a blessed day that He has made. Let us all rejoice, be thankful, and be glad in it. Good morning, brothers and sisters. We thank God for you tuning in and listening to us on today. We pray that we have a word for you, and we believe that we do by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we will share with you today that would encourage you, inspire you, motivate you, and not only do those things, but change your life. Change the way you live. You can change the way you think, and Lord have mercy, and you can change the way you do things in your life. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, praise the Lord. We welcome you all for tuning in to us this morning. Get this ready, your message and broadcast and podcast that we hear, believe, and serve in God to the fullness by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and that we will share and break the bread of life with you and for you and in your life today in sharing this word and providing this word that you may dig deep into the scriptures and search where you need to be, find where you are and where you need to be. Good morning again. We thank you. We're making ready for our prayer this morning for everything that has been done and everything that the Lord is going to do and that what He is doing right now. We give Him praise. We give Him honor. We give Him glory. We just magnify His holy name. We lift Him up and we thank Him. We want to pray for all the sick and the shut in, all of the bereavement people that may have lost a loved one, friends or family, or just lonely, maybe just in depression or anxiety or stress, or just maybe looking for some deliverance in their lives. And maybe you've been fighting against an addiction or a habit or something in your life for a long time. Maybe you may be hurting from something that you've been holding on to for a long time. But if you come to meet Jesus, come to Jesus, He has the answer. He has the answer to all your problems. The solution. Not just the answer. He has the solution. And He can help you if you desire, if you so desire. So we want to go to the throne of grace with you today, praying for you and praying for our service on today, that whomever that chose that come into the presence of the Lord and His Spirit, that God will do a major work on their lives. Not just the one that are there to hear or even listening now, but even myself and everyone all around me that is tuned in. We always have to pray and be willing to want God to cause a change and effect in our lives. So let us pray today. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you're going to do. We lift up your name right now. We magnify you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. Lord, we need you in our lives. And we need to understand that without you, without your guidance, and without your Holy Spirit, we are nothing. And Father, help us to humble ourselves, to put this old pride down, and that we might come to you, Father, cry out to you, yield ourselves to you, make ourselves available for you to come in and sup with us. Father, help us right now. Help every person, every individual in the sound of my voice, and even the ones that may not be listening, Father, every person, every human being all over the world, Father, that need to be touched by your word. Father, we ask that allow your word by the Holy Spirit that it would touch, that it would send healing and deliverance. Father, you said that if we would ask, it shall be given. If we seek, we shall find. And if we would knock, the door would be open. Father, we're asking today. We're praying today because you said the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. The person that's in right standing with you, Father, that you would answer a prayer. Father, we're praying on behalf of those that may not even know how to get a prayer due, may not even know how to talk to you. We want to speak on their behalf for whatever hurt, whatever pain, whatever sickness, whatever illness, whatever dilemma, whatever stress, whatever it is they may be dealing with right now, if they are ready and willing to humble themselves right now and come to you and be willing to turn, to repent and turn from all of their wicked ways, Father, we thank you right now that you would touch, right now. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift you up. We need you, your spirit. We need it more now than ever before. The adversary is running wild and rapid and outrageous in the land, all because of people are not adhering to your word, not coming to you, Father, and allowing your Holy Spirit to take over, not being obedient to your will and to your way, Father. We praise you, Father. We lift you up right now. We thank you, Jesus. There are so many sick people in the world today. So many people that are going to the doctors, Father, seeing the physicians for something, one thing or another. But Father, give them a mind to come to you first before they see the doctor. Believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that they can be delivered. They can be healed. And even if it doesn't happen right then, and Father, that they would work, that they would pray that you would work through the doctors and give them guidance and direction, that they would instruct them how and what to do for whatever the sickness and illness it is. We know you're healing and delivering God. We know you're a way maker. We know you're a loving God. You're a kind God. We know that you're always there. No matter how bad, no matter how this will be, no matter how hard-headed that we've been or how reluctant that we are in listening to your word, you still give us a chance. Father, we thank you right now. Thank you for your love and kindness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you glory. We thank you right now. In the name of Jesus that we pray and we request this of you, and we declare it in Jesus' name, that we receive it. Father, that we heal, that we're going to be delivered, that we're going to be made free, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you right now, in Jesus' name. We praise you. We say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, allow your Holy Spirit to fall on us right now, Jesus. Allow your Holy Spirit to break yokes, to break the chains of the adversary, to bind him, to keep him back, Father, to hover over him, Father. Let him know that you're still in charge right now. Let your spirit come right now, Father. Let your spirit come and intervene, Father, on our behalf right now.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
somebody Lord. Needs you right now. Somebody have too much pride to ask or call on you, but they need you. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. There's so many things that got them bound. They got them held down. They won't allow them to submit themselves unto you. To admit that they need you, Jesus. Come on, Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on right now in the name of Jesus. Fall fresh on us right now, Jesus. Fall fresh on us right now. Fall fresh on this message. We know that it is already there. It is already being done. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you forevermore. We glorify you. Thank you in Jesus' name, Father. Again, we say amen and amen. Amen. Good morning. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his kindness. Thank God for all that he's done. Thank God for the opportunities. Thank God for the chance. Thank God for the love that he touches us with his finger of love, that he allows us to have an opportunity, to get a second chance, to be able to be with him one day eternally. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We want to turn your attention today. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 3 and verse 20, we want to tell you want to speak to you in your hearing today about, to encourage you. We're going to read this scripture verse And we will share that with you in a moment. But in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20 here, and beginning at verse 14, deals with the lukewarm church. But the verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." That's what he says. Anyone that would open the door, that would open that door, that would allow Jesus in, then let him have his way in your life. Today I want to talk to you simple and plain. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. I want to ask you a question in the message that I'm sharing with you on today. Which would you rather do, or which would you do? Would you be willing to meet Jesus? Would you rather meet Jesus, or would you rather he meet you? And my saying that is that the thing that we as a people need to learn and we must do, that the Lord doesn't have to tear down any doors to find us. We've read the scripture that he says, "If behold, I stand at the door," I'm already standing there. I'm already standing right at the presence of your door right now. And all you have to do is make yourself available. Make yourself available. Come to Jesus. Meeting with him one-on-one. Having a meeting with him one-on-one. Lord have mercy. There were several people in the Bible. They came to Jesus. They met him. Mary Magdalene met him when she was looking for him. When they thought about, well, during the time of the resurrection, that Jesus died and was put into the tomb. She went looking for him. And she met him because he spoke to her and he told her what to do to go back and tell the disciples. It was another man that met Jesus. Nicodemus was concerned about, "What do you mean about being born again?" Met with him to find out the answer. He took time out to go, and he went because he was a popular man and he was in an authoritative position. And he did it secretly because he didn't want anybody to know, because he knew what the reputation that he had, and he knew that the things that would be said or what would happen if they found out that he went and talked to this man named Jesus. But he did anyhow. In other words, he made himself available to find out what he needed to know. What would Jesus have him to do? Or what did he need to do? Today, that's what I'm saying to you. He's standing at the door knocking right now. Are you available? Are you available? Or are you too busy? You're too busy. You got too many other things going on. You got too many excuses to where you can't even open the door. Too much happening in the house, or too much happening with your time, or you're sleeping, or you're resting, or your body is worn down. There was another young man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus heard about Jesus on a pathway coming through town. And he made his way to look for this Jesus because Zacchaeus was small in stature, and it was a crowd that heard about Jesus and the things that he was doing. And Zacchaeus made himself available so that he climbed up a tree, a sycamore tree, to see him coming. And Jesus noticed that he went out of his way to make himself available to find him. And he let him know that on this day, Zacchaeus, that you came to meet me, to make yourself available. I will dine at your house. I will go with you in your home today. Then there was the woman at the well. Woman at the well going there to draw water. A Samaritan woman that in those times was known not to be able to meet anybody that was near Jews or anything like that, because they were people that wasn't supposed to even be together. But at any rate, being there at the well, not realizing she was making herself available for Jesus to meet with her. And he spoke with her and he let her know that you thirsty, but the thirst that you're looking after is not the water in this well. He said, I can give you the water that you'll never thirst again. And then there was another woman. There was another woman, the adulterous woman, that they brought before or came to Jesus and was about to convict her of the thing that she had done. But Jesus, being available there and not realize even in the midst of the incident, and I know they will not know what you're thinking. He said, well, they didn't bring her. She didn't come on home. But yeah, but she did in a way, because she was found guilty. So, and that caused her to have to make herself available in the midst of the sin right before Jesus. And they didn't realize what they were doing when they brought her before Jesus, because that was the day that Jesus would let all of them know what time it was. Even though they say they caught her in the dreadful act, and he even let them know that she's not the only one. She's not the only one that's guilty of a sin. And when he let them know that the first one that can cast a stone that are without sin, you go right ahead. And they could not do it. So you say, Pastor, what are you talking about today? I'm saying, come to Jesus. I'm saying, whatever is wrong, whatever is going on in your life, whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're struggling with, whatever the addiction, whatever the pain, whatever the sickness, whatever the illness, whatever the stress, whatever the anxiety, whatever the disease, whether it be heart problem, whether it be high blood pressure, whether it be sugar diabetes, whether it be cancer, whether it be any venereal disease, whether it be a blood disease, whether it be heart problems, whether it be mental issues, the issue can be resolved when you come to Jesus. Because Jesus has already made himself available for you. He said, behold, I stand at the door. I'm waiting for you to let me in. I'm waiting for you to allow me to come in and be with you and perform the surgery that needs to be done on your heart and in your life. The problem today, everybody that goes to the hospital is not really looking for the answer. They just want a Band-Aid. But when you come to the emergency room where it's critical at and you're looking for some serious help, then you got to get the best surgeon that is around. And the one that's the best surgeon that has ever lived, that has ever walked this earth and still living beyond the earth and still present in spirit, is Jesus. There's no one better. There's nobody better than Jesus. Come to Jesus. Make yourself available for him. Come and meet him one-on-one. And every person, and even the one that I've mentioned to you that met Jesus, that met him one-on-one, their lives was changed afterwards. The blind man, the man that was standing at the gate called Beautiful, right out of the door of the church. He entered into the house. The sick woman with the issue of blood fought through the crowd to meet Jesus, to reach out to him. She began to get healed because of it. Lord have mercy. And even Moses and all the men that walked before God, for God, they met him and heard what he had to say and performed and served him the way they were supposed to, and he blessed their lives. I'm trying to tell you today, whatever your issue is, bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Watch this here. And I'm going to back up here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 down to 20 that I've just read to you. And he says this, and to the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know your work, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. I wish you were one or the other. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Repent. Why? Because, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. The bottom line here is, you need to stop and take time out and come to Jesus. You need to do an evaluation on your life. What have I been doing all this time? Everybody right now, there's somebody somewhere right now. They got other things more important than meeting Jesus. They got everything on their agendas that's more crucial than coming to meet with Jesus. And their lives are in a shambles. There's sickness, there's hurt, and there's pain. There's anger, there's vengeance, there's unforgiveness, there's hate. There's bitterness in everything that's in the land, but they won't meet with Jesus. They've lost the connection. They don't know which way to go. They're disturbed in their minds. Lord have mercy. But they need some help. And they're strung out with addictions, trying to cover and mask the pain of what's happening on the inside. But what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to meet with Jesus. You can try all of the medications. You can go all to all the physicians. You can see the most expensive, the one that's most knowledgeable, the one that's most precise in his accurate of surgical abilities, and yet he still may not clear the problem. He can amputate and cut off every limb off of your body to allow you to become or feel better for a moment or a little while, just to find out that the part that he cut off, then the other part, there's another half of your body or another part of your body that germ or that disease or whatever that sickness or that illness is, has transferred itself to another part, and now there's another part that has to be cut off. But when are you going to cut off Satan from cutting off your limbs of your body with the hurt and the pain and of the addictions and of the disease and everything that's happening in your life? What are you saying, Pastor? I mean, when are you going to make up your mind to meet with Jesus to the fullness and be ready and willing to wait for him to perform a miracle in your life? Or are you just satisfied? Good God Almighty. Are you just satisfied with just going to the doctors? Are you just satisfied just going through the motion? Are you just satisfied in taking all of the pills and come to find out after all the pills that you take is still not doing any good? When are you ready? Are you ready for real, sincere miracle performance operation to happen in your life? But I'm here to tell you right now, the time is now. The time is now. And you can have this right now if you humble yourself, if you make yourself available for Jesus to come in. I'm talking about truly make yourself available for truly him to come in. I'm not talking about church service on a regular basis or whoever, wherever, the place where you go to just go to be there of attendance. I'm talking about when you go there's something miraculous begin to happen. When are you going to challenge Jesus to the point that he will perform a real miracle in your life by your faith? It's going to have to happen by faith. By the faith, by the real genuineness of you being able to humble yourself, to submit and admit who you are, where you are, and what you are, and what's happening in your life. And if you are sitting there or waiting for somebody to have a pity party on you, and then for somebody to feel sorry for you, and then for things to change, then you're going to be waiting for a mighty long time. Jesus does not break down doors. Jesus is not a robber, nor is he a thief. Jesus does not break in on anybody. Jesus gives you the privilege. Notice that in the verse of scripture that Jesus have enough love and a respect for you that he is standing at the door of your heart. He's standing at the door and he is knocking right now. Even in the message that I'm ministering to you, he's knocking at the door of your heart right now. He's knocking. And I know Satan, he's standing on the other side of you. He's trying to fan the word out and sift the word from your mind and the thought that you might make that step today. Make that step today to accept change, to accept newness, to accept the rebirth, to accept to move forward, to accept to have a better life. To accept the willingness to submit yourself to him. You've got to come to the point to be yearning for God in the midst of all distresses. Let me share something with you in the book of Psalms 42. In the Psalm 42, the psalmist says, beginning at verse 1, the key verse is verse 2 here that I'm reading to you today. Psalm 42, he says in verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. For you, O God. For you, O God. He says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. For the living God. Are you that thirsty today? That's what Jesus told the woman at the well that was drawing water. And he was letting her know that, yeah, you get in the natural water and you're misunderstanding what I'm saying when I tell you that if you take of the water that I have, you'll never thirst again. We're not talking about natural water here. We're talking about spiritual water. There is a lot of you right now that is thirsty for the spiritual water. But you are so caught up with your pride. With the way that you were taught and trained, with the way that you've been living already to this point, but nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. There's been no true deliverance. There's been no full miracle that is happening in your life that you can say that you really know that God did it. Yeah, I know what you're thinking already. Yeah, the miracle every day that he allows you to wait. But I'm talking about to deliver you from what that situation is that's happening in your life, where you move forward and then where you commit your life to Christ and you serve him to the fullness, and he began to make you a disciple of his so that you can touch somebody else's life, and the same thing can happen for him, and the same thing can happen for her, and the same thing can happen for her and him and her and him and her over and over again until God recruits all of his people back to him. He wants us to come back. He wants us to come back to him. He has made a way for us to reach him. He has made a way for where we can be with him if we desire. But there is a service that we must carry out while we're here on earth. We're put here on earth to have these parties, to have these wing-dang-dos in the pleasures of life. Let me share something with you, with a thought, to give you to think about. I looked at life and people, and the Holy Spirit showed me something. He says, if you got anything to sell people that will make them feel good, if you got something that will make people feel good, they will buy it. It doesn't matter how or what it is. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a television, it doesn't matter if it's drugs, it doesn't matter alcohol, it doesn't matter if it's a physical sex. If it makes them feel good, and they don't care if it just makes them feel good for 15 minutes or 10, as long as they feel good, they are willing to pay for it. They're willing to pay for it. People will go to the drug dealer just to get the drug, or go across the counter. Yeah, the one that across the counter in the drugstores, yes. Legally, just to get the drug, to feel what? Good. To feel what? Better. But that their fix that they give you is only temporary. But the fix I'm trying to tell you about, that when Jesus fixes you, you're completely fixed. Amen. When Jesus delivers you, you're completely delivered. I have a problem when I see people say that they love the Lord, they believe the Lord, but yet the things that's still hanging on them, they haven't let go of. They haven't allowed Jesus to perform the true miracle in their life. Let me take you right back to my message. They haven't made themselves available yet. They haven't relinquished their pride and said, pride, you got to get down. You got to get out of the way so I can allow Jesus to come in. So I can allow Jesus to perform the surgery. Lord have mercy. The surgery in my life. This urgency that I need for him to be in my life so that he can perform the thing that need to be done, this operation that I need in my spiritual life so bad. God Almighty, I need it so bad. I need it so bad. I need it so bad that you got to be willing to give your life to have it. Yeah, it comes as a supreme sacrifice. Why? Jesus gave his life. Jesus gave his life for you and I. Why can't you give your life for him? That we, you know what? When you give your life to Jesus, when you give your life to Jesus, he'll give it right back. He'll give it right back. You see, he's not an Indian giver. He doesn't take something and keep it, give it to you and keep it, but he'll give it right back. Why? I'm within the scriptures. The Bible said that when you choose Jesus, he will give you eternal life. Watch this. Well, you want me to give you scripture? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. No, what? The gift of God is eternal life through who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The gift of sinning is death. Huh? The reward for sinning is death. The reward for living in sin is darkness. The reward for sinning is pain. The reward for sinning is hurt. The reward for sinning is anger, vengeance, malice, hate, bitterness. All of that stuff, murdering and everything, and all of the things that goes against the principles of God. All the thing that goes against the principles of Jesus. That's right. Goes against it. But he came. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it. Well, he said, I didn't just come just that you just might have life. He said, I came that you might have it more abundantly. Lord have mercy. Jesus is trying to give us something that would allow us to live and be free forever in our lives. Forever. But there's a service. There's a service that we have to carry out in the meantime. That service is to be able to reach other lost souls, other persons or other individuals that are in darkness. That are in darkness. Aren't you tired of walking around in darkness? Aren't you tired of trying to use a flashlight that uses batteries that is not long lasting? Because the reason I say that is the batteries of the flashlight that's not long lasting, you got to constantly continue to buy new batteries in order to fill it so that you can continue to see. And you may not have the funds or whatever the need to purchase that battery for that to happen. You say, well, why is that? What sense does that make? What I'm saying is Jesus is the light of the world. And Jesus is the light that lighteth every man if he choose him. That light is the light of men. That light is. So we were born because of Adam's disobedience. We were born in darkness. And so now, in order for us to come out of darkness, we have to re-establish ourselves. Reestablish a relationship with the Lord so that light can be turned on again. And when that light is turned on again, it never goes out. You see, Jesus is the light that never needs batteries. Jesus is the light that constantly shines. It never goes out. Don't you want that kind of light in your life? Don't you desire that kind of light in your life? Don't you want that kind of change in your life? I'm going to read that again in verse 42, Psalm 42. As the deer pants, he longingly is thirsty for the water brooks. Right? It said, my soul pants. It's longing for you, O God. Longing for you, O God. That void that's in your life, that's empty in your life, that missing link that's in your life, it ain't nobody but Jesus. It's nobody but Jesus. There is no substance. There is no physical attribute. There is no pleasurable thing on this earth, in this world, in this life that will satisfy that void. Not anything. No woman, no man, no alcohol, no drug, I don't care how many things they mix it with, will satisfy that void. Because if it did, you wouldn't have to continue to do it over and over again. You see, when you have the love and the light and the life of Jesus inside of you, and that's that joy he talked about. That joy, woo! That joy, unspeakable joy. That peace, like Jesus said, he said, the peace that I give you, not that the world give you, that there is anything in the world that you face, my God, anything in the world that you can face when you got Jesus working on the inside, it will not harm you or affect you as long as you stay in the Word and stay connected to him by and through his Word. It can't harm you. can't harm you. That's what he told the disciples. He said, you can go and drink or do anything, any deadly thing, but it will not harm you. Which means that whatever you go up against, whatever come against you, as long as you allow my spirit and I to live and to work with inside of you, you're going to be challenged, yes, but it will not derail you. It will not cause you to be lost. And guess what? All of these other things, the substances, the pleasurable things, I'm going to tell it like this in a language that you understand, that they have side effects. Yeah, they have side effects. The pleasurable thing have side effects. The drug have side effects. Yes. Mm-hmm. The indulgence of practicing the sinful activity has side effects. And those side effects will cause you to be lost. Because you have to continue doing the same thing over and over again. And never become satisfied. I've shared this some time ago, one time before, that you will never, you and I, not just you, you and I, and all of us that are living and walking this earth, will never, never, and I mean never, please and satisfy this old flesh, this old sinful nature. You'll never be able to do it. Never. Before you do it, what will happen is what happening to people now. Notice what happens to people when they indulge in those things, those pleasurable things that they say they enjoy, they feel as though they enjoy. What happened? They overdose, they OD, they die and be lost. Die and be lost. That's not judgment call. That's facts of what the word is. They die and they be lost. If you constantly do the drugs over and over and over and over and over again, eventually, there's going to come that particular time. You will not survive that drug. And guess what? Even the drug that seems as though it's harmless is slowly destroying you, whether you believe it or not. You think on the flip side, because you feel good for the moment and for the while in the term that you're using it, that everything is okay. But behind the scene, it's destroying you. It is destroying you. Lord have mercy. It's tearing you down little by little. And there's going to come a point in time, the final dose is going to take you out. And you know the sad part about that? You don't never know when that's going to be. You don't know when that's going to be. So I'm asking you, I'm begging you again today. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Meet with him. Meet with Jesus. The service that we're having this morning, it's not about meeting me. It's about meeting with Jesus. If you're serious and you're tired of the same old, and you're ready to hear the word like you're hearing it right now in an impactful way that you know this word is touching your life and you won't change, then you have to make a step to commit yourself to that purpose that Jesus has for you. All you have to do is reach out. Reach out. He's standing at the door. Turn the knob on the door and open it up and let him in. Let him in. Let him in. And when he comes in, and when you allow him to perform the surgery, that operation for whatever it is that you need from him, I promise you, you'll never be the same again. What I'm talking about is, I'm talking about a real spiritual encounter. I'm talking about a real miracle working power encounter. I'm not just talking about because you said you went and you did and then that was it and you went on your way. No, I'm talking about a real submissiveness and encounter with the Spirit of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the real encounter. Don't you? You want to be healed? You want to be delivered? You want a miracle working? You've got to give up something. You've got to let go of something. And if that thing hasn't happened to you yet, then it's obvious there's something you're still holding on to. There's something you're still holding on to. And this is what the Lord is letting this lukewarm church know. Is letting them know that you're not serious. You want to be halfway in and halfway out. You can't be halfway in and halfway out. You got to be one or the other. You got to be one or the other. You got to be all the way in, all the way out. And if you're not in it, you're not halfway in it. You're all the way out of it. But if you're in it, you got to be in it for the whole winning of it, all of it. Jesus doesn't want part of you. Jesus doesn't want half of you. Jesus don't want part of his glory. He wants all the glory. And he wants all of you. And when you give him all of you, then he gets all the glory. But when you don't give him all of you, he doesn't get any glory because he doesn't take half price tickets. He doesn't take, he takes the full price. There's no partial payments with Jesus. Well, I go to church part time. I'm there every other Sunday. It's not enough. I serve him every now and then. It's not enough. Jesus made it plain when a person gives his life for his sake, he wins. He said, but when he doesn't give his life for his sake, but he's trying to hold on to his life for his own sake, the battle is already lost. Game is over. He can keep playing. But he's already lost the game. The battle is done. But when you give the fullness of your life to Jesus, you need to think about this. The fullness, not part-time, not sometime. The fullness of living righteously in the right standard with him every day as best as you know how, according to his words. Not according to my word, according to his words. And believe his word. And trust him at his word all times. All time. Are you listening today? It's time for you to turn to Jesus. Whoever that has missed it, whoever that is not all the way there, whoever that don't trust him, it's time to give yourself to Jesus. You got to give yourself to him. You got to turn it over to him. You got to let him have it. You got to let him have his way in your life. There's no other way. There's no ifs, and buts about it. This thing about salvation is not some game. This thing about serving the Lord is not some game. This thing about serving Jesus is not some game. It's not some part-time situation. You got to commit your life to him. Don't you want to commit your life today? We want to pray for you today that you would make up your mind and that you will commit to him. Father, in the name of Jesus, those hearers that are listening right now, and wherever this message is being heard, let your Holy Spirit take over. Let it reign, let it rest, let it rule, and let it abide in them. Let them know that if they come to you, meet you, and make themselves available to open the door and let you in through repentance, and that they acknowledge the sin that is always before them, and that they need your help through it all, and that they can believe that you can change that. Father, we pray that they would hear this word and that would happen today, right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, let your word take place. Let your spirit have its way. And whomever is listening right now that is sincere in their heart, you know who they are already. I don't know who they are. I can't see that far, but you know everyone, every person, every individual. So we're praying for them right now in the name of Jesus, that we declare and we request this of you. That you allow your Holy Spirit to come in and sup with them. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, we glorify you with all the glory forever and amen and amen. We thank God for your listening. We pray that you heard an empowerful and impactful message, that it touched your life. God bless you. May the heaven and the peace of God be with you. Selah. Amen. Bye-bye.